It was at the picnic that I met Trish. She was tall and slender, and I wasn't surprised to find out she'd been a successful model the past few years. Working jobs in New York, Asia, and Paris, Trish told me she was burned out on the fast pace and constant travel. At first, I loved wearing the designer clothes and having everyone fuss over my hair and makeup, Trish explained, but eventually the glamour of it all passed. It was time to get a real life, you know? It made a lot of sense, especially assessing her appearance now. Instead of looking like a cover girl, she seemed to have rebelled against the whole modeling scene. She wore almost no makeup, and her primary wardrobe was jeans and t-shirts or sweaters. But believe me, heads turned when she passed by. I saw her again that same week when she was walking her new puppy, Lucy. Some small talk turned into her staying for dinner, and she ended up spending the night. She was a free spirit, and I fell in love with her. It was the first of many nights to come. From the time we met, she built her life around taking care of me, and by summer's end, we married. About a year and a half went by, and I was the happiest I'd ever been. I noticed Trish, however, had started to show signs of restlessness. She talked more about New York and her past life, seemingly with some longing. One day, I came home to find her very excited. Her agent had called and told her a major company was interested in casting her for a national ad campaign. She'd pulled out her portfolio, and I could see she was going to New York to audition, with or without my blessing. I didn't like it, but I also didn't dream of standing in her way. Trish left the next week and said she'd be back in 4 days. "Bye, baby," she said when she kissed me goodbye. I couldn't help but notice she didn't look me in the eye. Lucy and I had no choice but to hunker down at the house and wait to hear from Trish. Around 3 o'clock the first night she was gone, I awakened and couldn't go back to sleep. Maybe I'd gotten too used to having her feet touching mine and her hair splashed around on the pillow next to me. Restless, I threw off the covers and got out of bed. I ended up in the study, where I began a stare down with her computer. I'm not proud to admit it, but I started trying to get into her emails, guessing what her password could be. I couldn't believe I was doing this, and I didn't know what I was looking for, but still, I persisted, entering her birthday, our street number, and finally, L-U-C-Y. I was in. I clicked the trash icon and found what I'd hoped I wouldn't. Emails from some guy named Steven. He referenced her trip to New York, and he was coming on to her. As I read, I hoped Trish's replies were going to show she'd shut him down, but there, right in front of me, were her responses. She hadn't resisted his overtures. As far as I could tell, she'd encouraged them. I sat there in disbelief. Apparently, from what I could gather, she was at that moment likely in bed with some guy 1,000 miles away. Around 8:30 in the morning, the phone rang. I was on my third cup of coffee, and Lucy was in my lap asleep. Trish said she was getting ready to shower and was due at the studio in just 1 hour. I decided not to say anything about the emails until the audition was over. I wished her luck, hung up, and hurled my coffee cup, breaking it against the fireplace. Lucy jumped out of my lap and ran out of the room. The afternoon turned into evening, and at midnight, I woke with a start. Lucy was whining. I realized I'd dozed off, but the worst part was becoming fully aware that it was late and Trish hadn't called. It was just as well. I knew I was too angry to have any semblance of a conversation. There was no doubt now that my marriage was in serious trouble, and the whole thing made me sick to my stomach. I walked to the door and let Lucy out. As I stood there, I saw headlights turning toward us from down the street. An Uber slowed and turned in the driveway. My wife was home. We walked inside and I broke the silence. "How did the audition go?" I asked. Trish walked over to the fridge, poured what was left of some white wine into a glass, and took a sip. Then she looked at me and said, "I belong here." I admit it's a struggle to pretend I don't have a problem with what happened. Then again, if she went off for one last fling, maybe that's what she needed to do. Where it gets worrisome is how do I know this isn't habit-forming, and she won't decide to take off again? Is there something missing in our marriage that would make her want to cheat on me again down the road? I've decided, at least for now, to remain quiet and let Trish believe I've accepted things at face value. I hope I don't regret it. I didn't tell my wife I knew she'd cheated on me. Did I do the right thing?